Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind, take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Exodus. The Old Testament book of Exodus, we find our way in Exodus and chapter number 34. The book of Exodus in chapter 34. We are currently in a series dealing with the power of God's name. And with this, we're doing a study of all the different ways that the Bible says to use God's name. For example, we covered last Sunday morning believing on God's name. On Sunday night, we saw hazarding for their name. For last Wednesday, we saw, Sunday night before that, we saw justified in his name. We've been watching these different ways of using God's name, and this becomes a powerful study. Well, as we come to tonight, it's one that I am so excited for. The Bible tells us in Psalm 119, as a prayer, Lord, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things out of thy law. That word wonderful carries the idea of something that makes you go, wow. And I want to show you a passage tonight that made me go, wow. And then when I studied it to refresh myself today, it made me go, wow. And all day I've been thinking about it and going, wow. And I'm hoping that you go, wow. That it isn't just something, well, I just enjoy myself. But you know, we sometimes have a misconception of things in the Bible. For example, if I was to say, if you wanted to see manifest, remember, manifest is to make apparent, God's presence, what would you think about? We said that God manifested his presence. Would you think of angels singing in the background? Would you imagine a humming light? Maybe burning words up in the sky? Maybe a warm, fuzzy feeling? Maybe just some presence there? What would you think of if we said the presence of God manifested himself? Well, that's a good question. And sometimes we have a misconception and we bring in some religion, we bring in some spirituality, we bring in some other things. And because of that, we have a false idea of what God's presence is really like. Well, I'd like to show you a classic passage in the book of Exodus 34 and 33, the previous chapter, where it deals specifically with the presence of God. And I'd like us to see how the presence of God and the specific way of using God's name actually works together and give us a clear understanding of how it works enough that it made me go, wow. And I think it will do the same thing to you. If you don't mind, let's look together in the book of Exodus in chapter number 34. The book of Exodus, chapter 34, notice with me if you don't mind, in verse number 1. Exodus 34 and verse 1, the Bible says this, "And the Lord said unto Moses, hew thee two stone tables of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables which thou breakest. And be ready in the morning and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me and the top of the mount. And no man shall come up with thee, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mount, neither let the flocks nor the herds feed before that mount. And he hewed two stones like unto the first, and Moses rose up early in the morning, and went up to Mount Sinai, and as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand two tables of stone. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children, unto the third and to the fourth generation. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that once again is with our series of how to use God's name? And notice with me in verse number 5, at the very end, it says, proclaimed the name of the Lord. Proclaimed the name of the Lord. And with the Lord's help, we want to do a study in two different passages that are connected together with the same phrase, proclaimed the name of the Lord. Proclaimed the name of the Lord. Let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come to you, I'm asking that you would just give us grace and mercy, that you would give us understanding as we examine this passage, see what the Bible says, and that we would see what you mean by this idea of proclaim the name of the Lord. We know that these passages very clearly deal with your presence. Help us to understand what that means, what it looks like, and that we could see what a great God that we have, and we could rejoice in you. Lord, open our eyes that we may behold wonderful things out of thy law. In order for that to do that, I need to be just surrendered to you. So the best I know how, I give you my ambition, my goals, my thoughts. I give you everything, Lord. I just want you to get your own work accomplished. Use me as your vessel, your instrument, however you see fit. But Lord, please let us see you. Let us understand your presence. Let us understand this passage that we could walk away with a better understanding, rejoicing and seeking this for ourselves. Lord, I thank you again for you being a wonderful God. In your name we pray. Amen. As we start off, let's turn to the chapter previous in the book of Exodus 33. And as we turn to the chapter previous, let me give you some context. We know that in Exodus chapter number 20, that God had gathered all of the children of Israel who had been part of the Exodus, who had left Egypt and is now outside of Mount Sinai. And there in Exodus chapter 20, God himself gave the Ten Commandments. When the people had enough of the Ten Commandments, they said, Moses, you go speak to him yourself and come back. We can't stand to hear his voice anymore. And so Moses went up and he went to the mountain to commune with God. He spent 40 days, 40 nights with God. He came back down with the tablets and he saw that after 40 days, the people who heard the voice of God, thou shalt bear no graven image, had built a golden calf. Moses was very much upset, took the two tablets and threw them and destroyed them, and then ground them up and said, here you go, you drink it. He was mad. And God was mad. They were upset at the people, very much so. So now Moses has to deal with 2.5 million complaining people, disobedient people, rebellious people. And he looks at these people and says, how can I deal with these people? God wants me to lead them into the promised land. How am I going to deal with 2.5 million rebellious, complaining people? And he finally says, God, the only way I could do this is if your presence is with me. The only way I could do this is if I know that you are with me. He's looking for God's presence very clearly. This brings me back to the question I gave right at the beginning. What does the presence of God look like? When Moses was asking, Lord, I need your presence. I need to know that you're with me. Was he expecting that when he walked, there was a ray of sunshine that followed him on? What was he expecting? Was he expecting the voice of God speaking behind him? This is Moses, my servant. Obey him. What was he expecting? Was he expecting a warm breeze to always blow on his face? Oh, God, there you're with me. Was he expecting warm, fuzzy feeling? Was he expecting some supernatural presence? What was he expecting? What was he looking for? That's a great question. In fact, that's a vital question. Turn with me to Exodus 33. And I want to show you, first of all, the desire to know the Lord more. The desire to know the Lord more. So as Moses now is talking with God, what are we going to do about these 2.5 million rebellious and complaining people? Lord, I can't do this by myself. I can't leave. They're your people. What are we going to do about this? I just need you. Notice in this conversation, as Moses and God are speaking together, notice with me in verse 11, Exodus 33 and verse number 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not from out of the tabernacle. May I pause here? And verse 11, we're already setting up a scene. Moses already had a personal relationship with God. In fact, Moses had a closer relationship to God than any other person of his generation. That him and God spoke face to face as if they were a man. That's pretty close, isn't it? That's a pretty intense relationship. So we're establishing, first of all, that Moses already had a relationship with God. It wasn't that God was far away and he was wishing that he could know God. But to give you a spoiler inside of here, he's going to ask to know God more. How much more do you want to know him? He already speaks to you. God speaks verbally to you, Moses, face to face as from a man. We've got that established. They already have a close relationship. Notice as we go on. Verse 12, and Moses said unto the Lord, see thou sayest to me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider this thy nation is thy people. Now understand, these people hurt God and they hurt Moses. And Moses is now realizing the task. Hey, it is easy to lead the people when everyone's right with God. But no one's right with God. And he said, listen, you said you know me by name. You said you have a plan for me. You said my plan is to lead these people. Listen, I need to know. I know we speak to face, but I need to know who's going to go with me. Specifically, he's saying, God, I need you to go with me. He said, I need your presence. Now, remember, as we look at prayers, God answers prayers, right? And he answers specifically. So he said, let me know thy way, that I may know thee. He says, God, I want to know you. Now, remember, he already speaks to God face to face as a man. Now he's saying, God, I want to know you more. I need to know you deeper. I need to have your presence. I need to know that you are with me. Who's going with me so we can go together? If I know that you're with me, God, we could do this. But I need to know that you're with me. How does he know? Is it going to be because of a spooky feeling? Is it because in the middle of the night he has a dream and God says, I got you, boy? Is it because there's angels singing around him, a warm wind? What is it that I may know you? I need to know that your presence. What is it? Now I'm building this up. Are you curious yet? What is it? Notice with me if you don't mind. Verse number 14. And he said, who's this he? That's God. And God said, my presence will go with me, thee, and I will give thee rest. So God now says, my presence will go with you. What does that mean? Is it a spooky feeling? Is it a warm wind? Is it a warm fuzzy? What is this? Verse 15. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. So Moses says to God, listen, if your presence isn't with me, then we're not going. I need your presence or we're not going. What is he looking for? What a great question. Verse 16, For wherewith shall it be known that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So we shall be separated, I and thy people, from the people that are from the face of the earth. By the way, let's pause. Verse 16 is the greatest verse on biblical separation in all the Word of God. If you don't have that marked down somewhere, you need to have that down. Exodus 33:16 is the greatest verse on biblical separation. How does it work? When God has his presence on us, we will be separated. That it all begins with God. Separation doesn't come first. God comes first, and he naturally separates us from those other things. All right, that's a little side note, but I want to hit it since we're there. It is the greatest verse on biblical separation. If you want to have more separation from the world, you get closer with God. Verse 17, and the Lord said this unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken. What is it that Moses asked for? I want your presence. God says, I'll give you my presence. How? Warm, fuzzy feeling? Dreams? How is it that God is going to show his presence? And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Don't just talk about it now, God. Give me your presence. Verse 19. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And will be gracious to whom thou will be gracious, and show mercy on whom I will show mercy. How is it that he's going to show his presence? By giving him his names. How do we have the presence of God? How does God reveal his presence? God reveals himself through his names. That as we learn about the names of God, we learn more about him. Remember, Moses said, that I may know thee. I want to know thee more. And God says, I want you to know my names. And as you know my names, you know that I'm with you because of my names. Remember, the names of God teach us about God's characteristics and his attributes. And as you start learning about the names of God, you realize God is already here. God doesn't just swoop in. God's already here. But as I learn about him, I realize he's here already. And he's already working. And as I understand his attributes and his characteristics, I know I have God's presence with me. Now I could go face everything else because I know who God is and I know he's with me. He has revealed himself by his names, not by a spooky feeling, not by some mystical force. But God has chosen to reveal himself by his names. Isn't that wonderful? Now you said, are you sure? Well, we're going to see in the next chapter, as God gives him his presence again, the same thing's going to be said. Spoiler, just letting you know. Isn't this, you know, I don't know about you, but when you've read this passage, did you always try to figure out what does it mean to have God's presence? And you try to look, did Moses all of a sudden have his hair sticking on the back of his neck? Oh, God, you're here. Was he looking for some signs and wonders that all of a sudden his vision blinks out, his eyes glass over, and he sees a 10-foot-tall Jesus? What is it that was God's presence? I don't know about you, but I always wondered. Was it ambiguous? Did God not mention it? Did we not have any clue? Do we have to? And God said the whole time, I will proclaim my name. I will give you my various names, and you will know I'm with you. And if you know my names, you know who I am, you understand my character, my characteristics and my attributes, you know that I'm already here, that I'm God and I've got things handled because you've learned my names. Moses' prayer, that I may know thee and that I know your presence, that I know you're here. God says, solved, I will proclaim my name. Ever wonder why the study of names of God has always been so important, at least to your pastor? This. We learn more about God. This is how God has chosen to reveal himself, through his word and through his names. And it is through his names we understand more about God's attributes and his characteristics, and we know that he's with us because of his promises, because of who he is. Notice in verse 20, and he said, thou canst not see my face, for there should be no man that see me and live. All right, so God says, listen, no one can see me in my true God-like body. So I'm going to give you my names. Okay? Verse 21, and the Lord said, behold, there's a place behind me. Thou shalt stand upon a rock, and thou shalt come to pass that while my glory passeth, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. So we understand that God did do something special, but notice that God didn't really do a display, but he had chosen to give him his name. And Moses stood there listening to God proclaim his name because he was beholding the true glory of God in God's names. You can't see my face, but I'm going to let you know my presence. I'm going to let you see my hinder parts. That hinder parts means the last to come on scene. You can't see me, my full glory, but I'm going to give you something just as good. I'm going to give you my names to reveal something about you. Which brings us to a second thing. The proclamation of the name of God. The proclamation of the name of God. We now look to chapter 34. As, again, the same context, Moses has dealt with the children of Israel because of their failure with a golden calf. He's come back to God and said, God, what are we going to do? I can't leave these complaining people I can't do it alone. I need to know that you're with me. I need to know you. Even though he had a personal relationship where God spoke face to face, I need to know you, and I need to know your presence is going with me. And if your presence is with me, we could go. So God says, I'm going to proclaim my names. So as we continue with that conversation, notice with me in chapter 34 and verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, hew up two stones, tables of stone like unto first. And I will write upon these stones the words which were the first tables which thou breakest. And be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount. And no man shall come up with thee, neither shall any man be seen throughout the mount, and neither let the flocks nor the herds feed before the mount. And he, Moses, hewed two tables of stone like the very first. And Moses rose up early in the morning unto Mount Sinai, as the Lord commanded him, and took his hand in the two tables of stone. So notice, Moses asked, I need to know your presence. I need to know you more. God said, listen, you can't look at me face to face, but I'm going to show you something. I'm going to give you my presence. I'm going to show you something so that way you know that I'm God. And knowing this, you could go forward knowing that God's with you, knowing the presence of God, knowing me more. So Moses, go take two tables of stone, hew them up like the first, come meet me on Mount Sinai. We're going to have a meeting there. So that was the instructions. Moses now comes up. Now notice, in chapter 33, God did not reveal himself. He said, I'm going to reveal yourself. So now it's time for God to deliver his promises and answer Moses' prayers. Notice with me in verse 5. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him and proclaimed the name of the Lord. So God came down in the presence of Moses and said, let me give you my names. I told you that you're going to have my presence. I told you I was going to answer your prayer that you may know me more. I told you you can't see me face to face, but I can give you something that else, that I could hide you in the cleft of the rock. I could put you aside, but I'm going to give you my names, and that way you could understand me. And there God proclaimed his names. Moses, let me know who you are. Now notice, when God came down, it was not in a storm. It was not in the midst of a fire. It wasn't a tornado. He came in revelation. God revealed himself to Moses. How did he reveal himself? Not by a big display, not fireworks, not a storm. God revealed himself to Moses by proclaiming God's own names. Moses, let me tell you about me. Then you know what God does? He starts to list his names. Moses, you want to know me? Let me tell you about me. Let me proclaim my own name. Verse 6, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord. So notice we have a first name of God, the Lord. Notice this in capital L-O-R-D. This is the personal name of God. This is the great I am. This is the covenant-keeping God. This is the self-sufficient God. I am. Moses, just to remind you, I am. He says, but that's not all. I'm not just giving you one name. Let me tell you more about myself. He proclaimed his name and said, the Lord God. Now we have a conjunction between gods. Remember the God's name. We have G-O-D, which is the proper name of God. And then we have the personal name of God. So he's not just the personal God, but he's the personal God. The self-sufficient God, the double God, meaning that he's given his name twice. I am God, God. There is no other God like me. I'm personal and in charge. I'm personal and sovereign. I want you to know this, Moses. I'm revealing myself to you. I'm giving you my presence by proclaiming my name. He gives more names. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious. Now again, he doesn't use God for each one of these, but we see in the Bible, in our study that we're going to do later on this year, this is an actual name of God, the merciful and gracious God. We'll do a specific study on that. Aren't you glad that we have a merciful and gracious God? What was the context? The children of Israel heard God's word from God's own lips. Thou shalt not bear anything, or make anything engraven image. Don't make false idols. Within 40 days, they made a false idol. You know what they should have happened and what Moses and God were both contemplating? To rain down fire. God says, listen, Moses, step out of the way. I'm going to wipe them out. I'll just start a brand new group of people from you, Moses. Just step out of my way. God's pretty mad. Would God be justified if he rained down fire and wiped them out? Yeah. Why didn't he? I mean, this is rebellious people. Does God know everything? Yes. Does he know that these people are not going to get better? Yes. Next 40 years, that's all they're going to do is complain and murmur and gossip and rebel. Next 40, and they don't even know they're going 40 years yet. They just think that this is it's just a trip just around the road. They're getting to the promised land in a couple days. But God knows everything. Listen, if it was you or I, we'd cut bait and say, nope, I'm not dealing with these for 40 years. Forget that. Why didn't he? Because of the name of God, of who he is. He's revealed his character. He is merciful and he's gracious. You know, that helps me. I don't have a mean old God who's waiting for me to fail. I have a God who's merciful and gracious. Now listen, we've all messed up fairly badly. But none of us have messed up badly that we heard all God's voice, and then within 40 days we disobeyed the very voice of God. None of us have messed up that badly. And God was merciful and gracious. You know what? There's a presence of God there. It may not be a physical, spiritual tingling. You know what? There's something there that God's real. How do I know I have God's presence? He's revealed himself to me. And one of his names is that he's merciful and he's gracious. That even if I messed up, he's not kicking me out. Praise the Lord. Even if I messed up, he's not raining down fire and casting lightning, even though I deserve it. Praise the Lord. I can go forward now because I'm not living in fear of his wrath. Because he's merciful and he's gracious. God has revealed more of his names. He's not done. No, listen, God is sitting here. This isn't a preacher. This is God himself preaching on the names of God. Isn't that pretty wonderful? I mean, everything about this makes me go, wow. I hope you're going, wow, too. We're learning about God's presence. We're learning what God is saying here. What are we looking for? We need God's names. When we're looking for God's presence, you go to name God's names. God will proclaim his names. He says, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long suffering. What does long suffering mean? He suffers long with me. That suffering means that to go through pain. Do you know that you cause God pain? You hurt God's head. If we were to anthropomorphize him, has anybody ever hurt your head? I'm like, oh, Has anyone ever given you a headache? One of my favorite expressions of Jesus in the New Testament dealing with the disciples is Jesus sighed. God suffers long with me. And yet he's still gracious and merciful. I can have God's presence because I understand more about God through his names. Do you know how many people think they have a God who's mean and horrible? No wonder they don't have the presence of God on them, because they have a wrong vision of God. But how do we learn about God? God has revealed himself through his word, and he's revealed himself through his names. And the study of the names of God help us to understand the presence of God is with us. And I can face these things. I can go forward because God is not trying to squish me like a bug and wipe me off the map. He suffers long with me because he's still hopeful that I'm useful. He still has a plan for me. He hasn't wiped me out. He deals with me even though I fail him over and over. And not just fail him, I hurt him with my betrayal. With me committing spiritual adultery on him. Putting my love and affection to someone else. You know, we are not that kind. God is much kinder than us. If we did half of the stuff to someone else, they would have cut us off. Or someone did those things to us, we would have cut them out of our lives. But God suffers long with me. As God reveals his name, we see he's a long-suffering God. He's the God of suffering long. Notice again verse 6. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness. Oh, the Bible talks about in Romans that the goodness of God leadeth to repentance. God has been good to me. He's been nothing but good to me. And when I think about the goodness of God, by the way, I start to understand God's presence in my life. Not a spooky feeling, not some mystical thing, not a show of force. But I realize that God's with me and he cares for me and he's merciful to me. He is a God who's abundant in goodness. God has been good to me a lot better than I deserve. What a great God. I would not be this good to me. I can fail God horribly and God still bless me. Not because I deserve it, but because he is good. And he's good. It doesn't give me permission to do it. Oh, there's nothing like that sinking feeling where you mess up so horrible and then God does something for you and you're like, oh. God's presence is with me. It's not some spooky, mystical thing. It's not something where I'm expecting the hairs of my skin to pick up and look at all the goose pimples and my goose pimples have goose pimple. It's not that type of thing. And yet we chase after spiritual signs all the time and miss that God was revealing himself in his presence the whole time by proclaiming his own name. Verse 6 again. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness. And notice, abundant in truth. That's an actual name of God, the God of truth. We have a God of truth. God is gracious. We talked about graciousness earlier, that it's truth, kindness, self-control. What was the last one? Wisdom. God is gracious to me. And God is still a God of truth. His very nature is truth. This wasn't just a mere introduction. But Moses specifically prayed, even though he had a personal talk with God, that he could talk with God face to face as a man. He still said, that I may know thee. I want to know you more. God says, I got that. He says, God, I don't want to go forward unless I have your presence. I got that. How did God answer the specific prayer of Moses for Moses to know God more and to know God's presence? Twice in two chapters, God proclaimed his name. Isn't that a wonderful God? This changes everything. Moses standing on the mountain, hearing God proclaim his own name, was the answer to his deepest longing. He asked to see God's glory, and God showed it. Not through sight, but through a revelation of God's character. To know the name of God is to truly know God. So as we take this idea of proclaiming the name of the Lord, when we proclaim the name of the Lord, we're showing people who God really is. We're showing them that our God is a gracious God, a real God, and they can know him. For us ourselves, we need to have the study of the names of God for ourselves so we can know more about God's character, to have a clear vision of him. But then we are to proclaim God's name. What do we do when we're proclaiming God's name? We're showing people God's glory. We're showing what a glorious God that we have. We're bragging on God. We're teaching people about God's character. Do you know how many people have a generic God? They have some higher power. Our God is more specific than some generic God. When we proclaim God's name, we're teaching people the characteristics, the attributes of our wonderful God. To bring glory to God's name and to show these people the glory of God, that they might know him. The study of God's name becomes an important study in our life. It's not just an academic thing. It is a deeply spiritual thing. Because we learn about the presence of God. We learn about the attributes of God, the character of God, the very person of God. The study of his name should drive us to a place where we realize God is with us and he loves us. He's not far away from us. He's not distant from us. And people need to know this God. Isn't this wonderful? Now, I may be the only one excited, but to me, this is powerful because I don't know about you, but maybe you've wondered about that presence of God. What does it mean? What does it look like? You read this passage and you're almost imagining, God, get in there, Moses. I'm going to walk by and I'm going to put my hand over you and you're going to see my rear end. It's what we're taught in Sunday school. Yep. But then God reveals himself. How does he do? He says, Moses, meet me on the mountain and I'm going to come down. Not in a storm, not riding in a chariot, not looking like some Greek god. I'm going to speak to you, Moses, and I'm going to tell you my names. You know what Moses did when he heard God's names? He fell flat on his face. Why? Not because of a warm, tingling feeling. Not because of some spiritual presence. Not because of pepperoni pizza and indigestion. Not because of some dream or vision. But less learning about who God is. And his attributes put Moses on his face. And that was God's presence there. And he says, we're good, God. I know you're with me. Let's go. I'm ready to deal with this. This should help us. This should make us all want a lifelong study of the names of God. To learn more about God. If you get to the place like Moses and Paul, who both at the height of the ministry, both had the same prayer that I may know him, study the names of God. Study them devotionally, not academically. It's good to know the names of God intellectually, but they do nothing to you if you don't do them devotionally. How do I learn more about God? What is his character, music? What are his attributes? What do I learn about God? And when you study them and understand them, you know God is with you. You have a presence. And people need to know the same. If we proclaim God's name, let's give them God's names so they can know God personally. They can see God's glory. And see the real God that he is, not some generic, faraway God. I hope that when we're preaching this now, that you understand the presence of God with you. We appreciate warm and fuzzies, but that's not what we're searching for. We're searching for God himself. And to understand his names is to learn more about him. And when you know him, Let me tell you, it's better than any warm fuzzy. It's better than some experience. It's something real and tangible. Because our God is real. And he's with me. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. And again, thank you for this amazing thought, this amazing message, just straight from your scriptures. And that we can trust you. I'm asking that we would have that craving in our hearts that we may know you. And that we would make it our own personal goal to have a lifelong study of your names. To pick them out, to learn about them, to see who you are. And then when we understand these names, we realize you, we have your presence. You are here. Help us to have a correct seeking after the correct presence. We're not looking for an experience. We're looking for you. And we can know you. Thank you, Lord. Help these folks now to desire you, to know that you are real, that you're with us, and we can move forward because of who you are. No piano tonight, but I think it'd be appropriate if you wouldn't mind every head bowed and every eye closed to stand to your feet. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.